Molt bé. Bé, abans de res, avui celebrem aquesta conferència dintre de la cicla de conferències entre subjectes i atributs i tenim la conferenciant Gemma Sunyer. Llavors, la idea d'aquesta sessió és que ens expliqui la seva visió sobre el tema de segmentació en el màrqueting turístic. Aleshores, la sessió tindrà dues parts. La primera part serà expositiva, en què ella presentarà els continguts que ha preparat, i la segona part serà de preguntes, si teniu algun dubte, alguna pregunta, etc. D'acord? Llavors, ara, a continuació, llegiré la seva trajectòria, perquè tingueu una idea de quin és el seu background. Llegirem el currículum en català i en anglès, i llavors ja començarà la seva explicació, d'acord? Sí? Perfecte. Ok. Doncs bé, avui amb nosaltres tenim la Gemma Sunyer Oller. Ella va començar a treballar en màrqueting digital, quasi per accident, però de seguida es va convertir en la seva passió. Ens comenta que li encanta comunicar, compartir, aprendre i innovar. I ha trobat en el màrqueting digital el millor entorn per fer-ho possible cada dia. Després de 15 anys gestionant el màrqueting online d'una destinació turística, va iniciar la seva carrera professional com a freelance i va obrir l'agència Tamago d'Estudio, oferint serveis a destinacions i marques internacionals dins i fora del sector turístic. Ens explica que planifica estratègies de màrqueting digital i dissenya campanyes de comunicació i promoció innovadores a l'entorn d'internet i les xarxes socials, adaptades a les necessitats i capacitats de cada client. Això era el resum català, ara anem a l'anglès i llavors ja comencem, vale? Okay. So Gemma Sunyer, she has told us that she first started working on digital marketing quite accidentally, but soon after it became her passion. She loves communicating, sharing, learning and innovating, and working in digital marketing allows her to make it possible every day. After 15 years of managing the online marketing of a tourist destination, she started her professional career as a freelancer and founded the agency Tamago d'Estudio, offering her services to international destinations and brands, not only in the tourism industry. She plans digital marketing strategies and designs innovative communication and promotion campaigns for internet and social media, always adapted to the needs and capacities of each client. So first of all, I would like a big applause for her, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for being here. Before we start with the presentation of the person we have invited, of Gemma, just want to make a quick reminder. As you know, this part of the subject that we are doing has to do with one part of the essay that you have to present. This session is being recorded, so once we have the video, I will send you the link and I will send you the topic, okay? It takes them about a couple of days to prepare the video. Well, a few, 2 weeks. Okay. Okay, within this year, we're gonna send you the video, the link, and the topic, okay? So, but now since you're here, get advantage of it, have any questions, probably some of them related to your own topics of investigation, and very soon we're gonna give you the rest of the information you need for the final essay, for the small essay that you have to do. Thank you very much for being here, and now she can start with her presentation.
Thank you so much. For me, every time that I get to come here to the university, it's a pleasure. So thank you so much for inviting me. I used to study here in the University of Girona too, and being here now on the other side, it's a bit weird, but I always love it. So as Jordi told us, I first started working on digital marketing by accident. I always say almost by accident, it was by accident. Think that it was like 2007 and 8, something like that. And I was working in the tourist board in promoting the Costa Brava in the Girona Pyrenees, so here in Girona. Facebook was just starting to be a thing for promotion. It was just a social media where we found old friends and where we shared what we did every day. And it was just starting to be a tool for promotion for brands, companies, destination. And the bosses in the company said, who has Facebook? And we raised the hand. And is anybody interested in opening a group or a page or something? They say it could be good for promoting the destination. And I raised my hand and I'm here today. So it went after that, after Facebook came Twitter, Instagram, and then we started working seriously on digital marketing, and we ended up putting together a department, and it all went quite seriously. And then after that, I quit my job in the tourist board and I became a freelancer. I opened my own agency with another colleague, and now we run the strategy, the online strategy of different destinations, brands, companies, mostly in the tourism industry, but also other products, but mostly tourism, that's our favorite. So today we're going to talk about the segmentation in the tourism marketing. For me, segmentation should be considered anytime when we talk about marketing and promotion, but we will focus in tourism because that's my specialty and also that's what you're studying too. So whenever we have to promote a brand, product, service, destination, call it whatever you want, we face different challenges. And then we need to be creative when we want to promote to overcome those challenges and find creative ways to get to our audience. One of the main challenges is reputation. We think that reputation belongs to the brand, to the company, to the destination. It doesn't belong to them, it belongs to us, to the users, to the community, okay? So let's say I'm the brand, the reputation doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on my product, on my service. It depends on the perception of people. Sometimes it even depends on a bad rumor spread. So it's really hard to control reputation. We will see later that there are ways to, so when the reputation goes wrong, it's super, super hard to make it go back to good. It's very hard. But there are ways to make the reputation go in a good way, to invite the reputation to go in a good way. My former boss used to say, that's why there's this kid here, otherwise it wouldn't make sense if I don't tell you. My former boss told me that reputation is like a ball that you throw in a playground full of kids. So you are the brand, you are the owner of the ball, and you throw it out there, and they will do whatever they want. No matter if you tell them, stop it, it's not like this, they will do whatever they want. So reputation is one challenge that we always face. Credibility is a very important challenge that we face when we promote anything. Let's use an example. What if I tell you that I work for Coca-Cola, and I come here and I tell you guys, you have to try this drink. It's so good. The bubbles, the freshness, the sweetness. And you will think, she works in Coca-Cola. Of course it's good. She gets paid. Instead, if I'm your friend, or I'm someone you trust or you like, or someone that you've heard good things about, and I come and tell you, I tried a new drink. It's so good. It's different. There's more credibility in my message, so you're more likely to believe what I'm saying. So credibility is another challenge that we face, because if the brand itself says we are super good, we are the best, it's not easy to believe. And then I would say the biggest challenge nowadays is attention. We have inputs coming from every corner. Okay, years ago, when I was going to say when we were kids, but I'm a bit older than you. So when I was a kid, there was only regular TV. We were watching cartoons and there would be a commercial coming. And that bothered us because that's not what I wanted to watch. Now it happens the whole time. We have our phones. We are on the street. We have inputs the whole time. Our attention is limited. Even if we think we can pay attention to 1,000 things, our attention is limited and we are very selective on what we want to see and what we don't want to see. And advertisers know it. So they always need to get more and more creative. So when we see an advertisement, we almost don't realize it's our advertisement. And that's when we will see how the new techniques are working. So we get all these advertisements, all these inputs, and we are bothered. We feel like the brands want to sell us things. We don't want to be sold things. We want to be helped. We want to feel that the brand or the destination, they care about us and they want to help us. So when promoting, we cannot base our message in saying how good we are, all the benefits of our brand, of our product. We need to focus on solving problems that our clients, our customers have. Okay, we need to make them believe that we are here to help, that we are here to provide whatever they need to make their lives better. So we don't only sell our product or service in exchange of money or other payment methods that we will see later. We help them with their problems. And how do we help? You think it's hard, no? Because we're promoting a product, so it's not really our job to help. We help with content. Content is king. Bill Gates used to say it many years ago, and content is what makes us, what lets us help our clients, potential clients, from the promotional point of view. So instead of pitching our products or services, we will focus on providing content that has to be relevant and useful to our customers, okay? To make them feel that we're here to help them solve the problems. With this content, when we come down to the promotion and the marketing, what do we do with this content? We use it as a marketing strategy. We develop content marketing campaigns. So content marketing is a strategy of marketing that is based on creating, not only creating content, but also distributing. Because if we create very useful content, but we don't distribute it, it doesn't get anywhere. So creating and distributing content that has to be valuable and relevant for our clients, and it needs to be consistent. It's not okay to just create content every once in a while. We need to be consistent. We don't only need to get their attention. We need to retain the attention. So it has to be good enough for the clients to stay and consume our content. And the best thing is we need to get the clients, the customers, to do something. We want them to consume our product, to buy our product. So for it to be successful, this content marketing, it needs to find this balance between the quality of the content, so creating good content, publishing, and promoting it well. Without one of these three, there's no success. So always have the user in mind. It's not the product, it's the user. We want to help them, okay? Because if we keep selling our product, they see it, they know it, they will never react. So it's always based on the user experience. Otherwise, let me know why this resort would be any successful. It's in the middle of nowhere, so it's all based in the user experience. It doesn't matter how good a place is, how beautiful it is, if you don't focus on the client, there's no success. I'm going to tell you an example outside of the tourism world, and then there's another one. So we understand. In my free time, I like painting and watercolor illustration, and I follow this woman, this girl. She's an artist, and I follow her because she's super talented, but also because she cares about me. She's my friend, that's what I think. Because she gives me tutorials, she gives me tips and tricks, she even gives me discounts sometimes when I want to buy material or new colors or brushes. So I really feel she cares about me. What she's really doing is she's selling me stuff because I'm not her friend, I'm her client. So she's selling me courses and trips. She's getting commissions every time I buy. Of course I get a discount, but she's getting money out of it. So she got what she was looking for because I'm there and I will always buy the products from her because I feel like she cares for me. That's what we need to get from as a brand. Here's an example. Maybe it looks weird that I put this here because it's a game. Any of you don't know about this game? We all know about this game. This is a great example of content marketing, and sometimes it's surprising to think about it this way. What started as I think it started as an invention. Some guy invented it to keep his partner distracted, right? During pandemic, it was just a private thing, but he focused a lot on her. He thought, what does she like? I'm gonna put together this game for her. So he focused a lot on what she needed in that moment to help her, and he developed this game. Then the New York Times bought it and it went viral. The way people take care of this game, they feel part of a community. We all defend the objective of this game. There's no spoilers online. If you do a spoiler on Twitter, they may even block you. People believe in the game, they defend the objective of this game, they feel part of a community with this game. And it's just a game. In theory, there's no benefit behind it, but there is. The New York Times is getting a lot of visits a lot and backlinks to their website. Okay, so by consuming this content, we are visiting their website and we are hooked to it. Also, another key point of this game is the exclusivity, because you go play and you want more, but there's no more until tomorrow. So you come back tomorrow. That's their consistency. They don't create a new game every day. It's just new solution. But we go back every day, every day, every day, and they have us there. So that's a very good example too. I show you these examples so that we understand that is sometimes it's not so obvious that we are being like attacked by content marketing, and it's instead everywhere. We look for a recipe, and at some point somebody will try to sell us food, a tool. We look for a tutorial. Somebody will try to sell us a template, or we want to find out how to sleep better. They will try to sell us a mattress or something related. That's why we always need to keep in mind that there's nothing free. When something looks free, it means the product is you. You are the price, okay? When you say, I'm going to download this free ebook, it's not free. You're giving them your email address. And you think, it's okay, I can give them my email address. Yeah, but from a company point of view, it's super expensive to get an email, especially of someone that will potentially be super interested in your product. It's super hard to get. So whenever something feels free, it's never free. The benefits of content marketing from the company point of view is that it will increase the notoriety and brand awareness. It will increase organic traffic because, the first one, it will increase the notoriety and brand awareness. It's because the brand will position itself as an expert in the matter. So we will see that brand as like the leader in that subject. It will increase organic search because the content will be good quality and Google will see that it's high quality, so it will rank better. It will increase the engagement because users will see that that content is good, so they will always come back for more. And it will increase the database and conversion because we will more likely give that company our data because we trust them, so we will give our email because why not? There's nothing wrong with it. There's many, many studies that will, if you search, that will tell you how good it is. To be good, it has to be relevant to our target audience, and that's, we will go deeper into that. That's when we will talk about how important it is to use the segmentation and do it well. It has to be relevant to our target audience. It will have to provide answers to the problems that our customers have, to their questions. It will always showcase the identity of the brand, because never forget we're doing this to promote the brand, so our brand has to be always there. And it will have to establish ourselves as the authority, so we will only talk about things that we know about. If we don't know about, we just don't talk about it. The goals will be to educate the public. This is in the tourism industry, okay? There's other brands in other segments, in other industries that will have their objective in making their audience have fun, okay, to entertain. Usually in tourism, it will be more to educate, to gain authority in the subject, and of course to influence the decisions. At the end, we want to sell. We want people to consume our product and service. Okay, even if it's download an ebook, we want them to take action. So, how to set up a good content marketing campaign? The first and most important, and that's why we're here today, is segmentation. Segmentation is basically, we take our full group of audience, of public, and we divide this public into subgroups, into homogeneous groups. How do we divide them? There's many, many, many criteria that we can use. It will always depend on the product and our objectives. Basically, we use the origin. Okay, this is used a lot. Where they come from, what's their country, where's their language, their culture, their background. We will also use demographic segmentation. The age is a very important one, although it's not reliable 100%, okay? Somebody in their 30s could be just starting to travel the world alone or starting a family. So, okay, or somebody in their 60s could be retiring and getting more relaxed, or retiring and getting adventurous and going out and exploring and traveling. So age alone is not a valid criteria. But then if we mix it with the life stage and other criteria, then we can get very good segmentation. Of course, gender is a good criteria too. And then money, the income, of course, is super important to consider, but also how much they are willing to spend, their spending capacity, because it's not the same, okay? Somebody may be earning a lot of money, but then not wanting to spend in something. So these are the most like typical criteria that we use. But then there's the most important one, which is also the hardest. That's the why. So the reason that drives people to consume our product or service. And in tourism, in travel, it's not easy. It can be so many options, and it's not easy to know. People can be traveling to relax or to get the adventures of their lives, for business or for leisure, for health issues, for ecologic objectives. It can be a thousand of reasons, but this is the most important one, because here is where we know what they need and what's their problem and where we need to focus our communication to make them feel that we care about them and to help them. Once we have defined, we have done this segmentation process and we have defined what audience we want to focus on, then we get to know our client. Ideally, we would say, okay, from all of us here, we do a segmentation of five and we get to know each one of us, and then we help each one of us with our problem. But that's impossible. We're talking about millions of people. So what we do is we create a fake persona, a fake person. It's not really fake. It's fake in the sense of it doesn't exist. We create it from scratch. It's not fake. It's real because we know our public. We know how old they are. The average one, okay? It doesn't mean it has to be 40 years old. It can be 30, 50, but the average, we can create it more or less. So this is super important, this process. We need to get to know them to the detail. We need to get to know their goals and desires, what they want, their pain points, so what are their problems, what they need, what they lack, the places they go, the people they spend their time with, their hobbies, the brands they love. We need to know everything about them. We get to know our persona, our client, we find what's their problem, and we help them. It sounds easy, it's not that easy, but it's a super important step of the process. Because like this, we define super well our client, and then we can go straight to them. We know how to talk to them, because then we know what they need to hear, how they want to hear it. We know how to communicate to them, and that's the way they will listen to us. There's this tool that is super cool. It's called Make My Persona. It's by HubSpot, I think. You can just Google it. And it helps you create it. Just because if you want to try, because it's a very abstract concept sometimes, and instead it's a fun process. Let's say we have this car to promote, to sell. And this guy here in the middle, he could be our buyer, right? He's in middle age, probably has a good income, a good position in a job, sport, but classy, so he could be. But this guy could be our buyer too. And maybe that one on the right is our buyer persona. It doesn't mean that that one is not going to buy, right? But we will focus on our main buyer persona. So it's super important to do all this process very well, the segmentation and then down defining to the detail the buyer persona. After this, remember that we're talking about running a content marketing campaign, okay? We will see how the segmentation is important in every step of tourism marketing. And as my specialty is digital marketing and content marketing, we cover this topic. After this is all defined, we choose the content creators, okay? We choose the people we will work with and the people that will be creating the content that we need to tell our message. Again, there will be the same process of segmentation and then choosing specifically who we work with. We will choose by the language, the specialty, are they writers, are they photographers, are they video makers, their audience. Think that we can not only base the selection on language, it could be that they are writing in French and they are not from France, they are from Canada. Or they are writing in English, but they are their main audience is in Portugal. So we always need to combine their talent, what they can do better, if they are more good at gastronomy or at hiking, their channels, are they good on TikTok, on YouTube, on a blog? And then, of course, we develop a plan and calendar. We decide what type of content we need, the objective of this content, dates, deliverables, costs, etc. Content, when we think about content, there's a wide range of content. Of course, photos, videos, blog posts, but an ebook, an app, a game is also content, okay? And always, we always think long tail. There's an example here about meditation, but long tail would mean if we are a tourist destination, instead of focus of promoting tourist destination and that's it, or family travel. No, we will say, what's up the best family travel destination for kids of under 2 years old? Okay, we will always think down to the detail to get better results in the long term. This is too theoretical. And then when we finish, we analyze the results, optimize and repeat. This is super important. Even if we did a very good segmentation in the beginning, people evolve, people change, trends change. It won't be valid. What we decide today in a year, it won't be valid. So we always need to analyze everything we do. We remove what didn't work. We repeat what worked and again and again. So we will always review the metrics and KPIs. The long-term results, we will have to keep an eye on them because we finish a campaign, we get immediate results, but then after a year, it could be that those results are multiplied by 10. So we need to always keep an eye. The campaign doesn't really finish in terms of results. And then constant evolution, that's the most important one. Digital marketing is in constant changing, constant evolution. It's a very innovative industry, so we always need to keep track on everything new. And now we will see how this content marketing works for the promotion of a tourist destination, okay? And how this segmentation will bring the best results. We say that the midterm objective of I always think it should be of any brand that has a presence online, but specifically a tourist destination. The midterm objective is that the content online is created by others. Is what we said before about Coca-Cola. No, if I work for Coca-Cola, you will never trust me. If the destination keeps posting photos that are perfect, like a postcard. Instead, if users are posting the photos, that's more real, that generates more credibility. So the objective is that the content is created by others. Others, who are the others? It can be locals, it could be travelers, tourists, it could be experts, it could be media, it could be anyone. Anyone that is not the brand itself, the destination itself. Think about Bali, for example. I'm sure you all know what Bali looks like. And I'm sure you all want to go to Bali at some point. And instead, I'm quite sure none of us have ever seen a commercial from Bali, an official one. They don't need to, because people go and they produce the content for them. So people talk about them for them. That's the best thing that can happen. All these people, all these others creating content for us will be the ambassadors. They will be the lovers of the brand, and they will spread the word and the message. So as a brand, as a tourist board, we will not have to say anything. People will talk for us. And this people taking part in spreading this message will be telling stories about the brand, the destination. When telling stories, they become our storytellers. Why are storytellers so important in the promotion? When we tell a story, let's say we want to learn about, let's say, Bali. I've never been to Bali, but let's say I've been to Bali and I come here and I tell you about Bali. It's not the same as if we say, oh, I would like to learn about Bali. I'll go to Wikipedia and search Bali and read. I read that, I will understand, but the message will not stick probably. Instead, if I come here and I say, I've just come back from vacation, I've been to an amazing place, I'm telling you a story and your attention will immediately switch and like, huh, she's about to tell me something important. And you will listen. For sure, you will listen better than if I start reading an article from Wikipedia. You will remember because there's more inputs. I'm talking, I'm using body language, a tone of my voice, and you will more likely tell others. You will say, huh, there's a girl that today told me a story about this and that. So you will spread the word. That's why it's super important that we count on all these storytellers when promoting a tourist destination or a hotel or any company. Our storytellers in this case will be content creators. And I'm saying professional content creators. Now, we are all content creators. If we have a smartphone in our hands, we can all go out, take a photo and post it online, and we become content creators. I mean professional ones, okay? I will show you an example. How are we on time? I will show you two examples so we understand why it's important to work with professional content creators, okay? Because the brand, the company, the tourist board, destination, whatever, they know very well what they have. They know very well what their benefits are for the client. They know very well what they want to show, but they are not content creators. So again, they are not thinking about the public they are talking to. They are thinking about themselves, okay? So if we are a brand, we think about what we want to communicate. We don't think about what you want to know, how you want me to talk to you. So we always create the content from our point of view. I'm going to show you a part of this video. I won't play it all because otherwise it takes time. Just have a look. It's a beautiful video. Eh? Okay, so this part of this video that you just watched, this was the official video of the destination of Costa Brava and Girona Pyrenees for quite a while, for many years. It's a beautiful video. As you saw, it's full of images of very beautiful places, very well shot, with a helicopter, a high budget, with all the list of like the must places that you should visit here in the area. So very well selected, very well curated, making sure that every day that there was a shooting, it was sunny, the weather was perfect, the light was beautiful. It's very well done. Now we will see another video that's also very well done, but it's completely different. It's just the same. So it's about the Costa Brava again. The objective is to promote the destination, same objective, but this one is thought from the tourist board, what we want to show. The other one is done by a content creator, by a video maker, And it's made, it's this other video is edited from his own experience as a user, okay? Thinking about the users that he wants to communicate to. Again, I cannot show you all the video because it
when you feel the sound and you hear the breeze, time and light will melt away into the sea. And if I tell you all the secrets of this land, your soul shall be free.
So I'm sure maybe you can tell some difference between the two videos. They are both aimed at the same objective, promoting the destination and making people want to come. The first one shows what they have. The second one shows what you will feel as a user. It makes you want to be part of it. It makes you actually feel part of it because there's people that you feel engaged to. They are smiling at you. They are having fun. And it's not the destination, it's just people, but it has this engagement in it. So at that point, we are sure that we have to work with content creators. When I used to work in the tourist board, we realized that we had to partner with these content creators, and we thought, how do we do it? And we organized the first trip for bloggers in the destination, okay? It was a blog trip. Here it says blog trip. Blog trip was not even a word. Now it's everywhere. But in that moment, it was not something very common in the promotion of a destination. So we organized this trip for 1 week. We invited 16 bloggers from all over the world to create content. And it was good. They created a lot of content. Everybody was talking about this. We took them around the area, and it was not a regular visit, a regular tour. We made them have fun. We made them go to museums and play with the art. We made them discover our gastronomy in another way, discover our culture with our own hands. And we made them get to know our local people by mixing them with the local people instead of telling them how we are. Then we did the same in the Pyrenees. That one, the first one was in the Costa Brava. And then we went big. We organized a lot of trips, conferences with many bloggers. And then we thought, let's take all this segmentation that we're using in the promotion to the digital marketing, okay? To the content marketing now. Segmentation was the key to success already in all the other ways of promoting the destination, and we brought it to the content marketing. There were many successes. There were also some fails that I will tell you later. So what did we do? we already had the segmentation quite clear by product, okay, the destination. We could promote the destination as a tourist destination or as a tourist destination for people that like sports outdoors, people that like gastronomy. So we had already this segmentation quite clear. And we took one of these segments, that's the families, okay, family travel, and we wanted to do something to promote the destination as the ideal place to travel with your family and your kids. And we thought, who are the decision makers? So we design our buyer persona, that is this mother of the family, because then the consumers will be all the family, but the decision maker will be this mother of the family that will make sure that the kids are okay, the partner is okay, and the whole family is okay. So we needed to tell the message to the mother of the family. Where do we find them? Where do they go online? Where are they? And we realized that they consume a lot of content from bloggers that are mothers. They don't talk about travel. They talk about things of motherhood, education, food, fashion, decoration, etc. We went to a conference of mommy bloggers in the UK to see how the situation was. And we found out that they were interested in many topics and everything, and all of them, they wanted to go on vacation, of course. They wanted to go somewhere that would make their family happy. So we were sure that that was the people we had to talk to. And what did we do? We invited some of these bloggers. They were not travel bloggers. They were mommy bloggers talking about breastfeeding sometimes, education. But they all wanted to travel. They were all interested in taking their family on a trip. So we invited them over. We organized a trip for them. And it was good. They created good content. But the content was always like, I wish my kid was here to experience this. I'm sure my kid will love it. So it was not really, really engaging. What we had to do is invite the kids too. So the next time we invited the parents with the kids. That content was very good because that content will be consumed by other families and they want to see other families, not just a mother that recommends you go with your kid. No, they want to see the family with the kids and feel, you know, that it could be me. So that worked very well. And then we did more in gastronomy, sports, many, many. There were also fails. The biggest one was actually there's this bottle of wine here broken because that was the best and worst example ever. We wanted to promote the area as a winemaking destination. And we went super deep into segmentation. We went so deep that we said, okay, who is interested in wine? Wine experts, sommeliers and wine experts, people that like wine. So we went and worked with them. We invited them over and we took them around. We showed them wine cellars and wine makers and we told them about their story, our destination, our land. They didn't care. They just wanted to go back to the hotel and open the bottles they bought and try the wine because that's what they liked. Here we went too far. We thought about segmentation and we went too far. We forgot that the main objective was to promote the destination and wine was a side objective. So we did the segmentation very well, but we forgot that the objective was to promote the destination. And honestly, it would have been much better to just send a couple of boxes to each of them and make them try the wine because it was exhausting, this campaign. And then we went a step back, always thinking of the objective is to promote the destination. From that moment on, we only worked with travel bloggers that were specialized in one of the products, not the opposite like it happened with the wine. And we went a bit deeper in the segmentation, not only the interest. So not only when we did mommy bloggers, no, that would be mommy bloggers from a specific destination or a country of origin that we knew would be interested in coming. We did, for example, top left. In that case, we wanted to promote the destination as a food destination in the United States. So we invited that couple that's a gastronomy expert. Couple and they create a lot of content in their blog and we invite them over. Then many more. The other girl is an illustrator. We wanted to show the destination as a beautiful place, but not the typical post where it's all postcards and super beautiful photos. And it's been done many times. So she came and she illustrated, she painted landscapes and then sold them. That was super good. I'm gonna go ahead because there's many. These, for example, these are photographers. We saw that we needed some photos of places of the destination. Instead of hiring a local photographer, we took them to the area, made them explore and create the content. Then this goes back to when we were saying, if something feels free, it's not free, you are the product. We understood this very well. And we understood that if we wanted to have a database of final consumers, either we needed to pay a lot of money or we needed to get creative. Getting creative seemed more reasonable, so we invented this campaign. We built a library, an online library of free ebooks, free, quote unquote, free ebooks. And what we did was put them out for people to download, and whoever wanted to download, they would have to give us their name and email address. And then through the IP, we would know what's their country of origin, and depending on the subject of the ebook, we would tag them with interests. So after that, we could do the segmentation in the email marketing campaigns, and we could focus and send the message to the people that we knew would be more interested. And we invited travel writers here to write and edit ebooks with many, many subjects like cultural stuff, human towers, and there's many more in this collection, guides of hiking, guides of cycling, photo guides, there were many, many. This was another very good one. We wanted to promote culture in the United States, but not the typical, not like artists, okay, things that people already knew about, but our local traditions. And we invited this girl. She has a TV show called Travel Barefoot, and she travels the world, and wherever she goes, she learns the local dance and music. And so she came here and took part in traditional events. That was super successful too. And then we went a step ahead. With this segmentation, we wanted to promote not the destination as a food destination overseas in the United States and Canada. But we were aware that, okay, this segmentation is very well done, but then if we were realistic, not many people will travel from the other side of the world just to come to the Costa Brava. It's super nice, but it's a very small place, and we knew it was hard. At the same time, we had our competitors in Italy. There's this area called Emilia-Romagna, and it's a very powerful area with food, culture, landscape, and at the same time, very similar to us. And also, the tourist board there worked in a very similar way to us. So what we did was we organized together this campaign. It was the first time that two competitor destinations worked together in a campaign. But we knew that if people came from the United States here to eat, they would also probably take another flight and go to Italy to eat. So let's do it together. And it was a big success. We invited a group of people from all over to write and create content and talk about the two destinations. Results were amazing. We even won a World Travel Award, so it was a big, big success. I'm sorry, I'm not showing you the video, but watch it after this. You Google Eurofood Trip, it's super, super nice. So you will understand the kind of campaign that it was. We did the same with culture in the next edition, and it worked. It was the first time that we forgot about competition and we focused on cooperation. That was super, super innovative. It was risky, I have to say. In the beginning, when we presented it to our bosses, they were like, but these people are our competitors. And we said, yeah, but we share the same objective, the same segmentation. We are focusing on the same people. So let's convince them together. And then this, for me, this is the queen campaign of segmentation for me. This is called From the World to Costa Brava. I'll try to explain. It's a bit hard to explain how it works. So what we did was, we selected the main countries of origin, okay? The main countries where people come from, their interests, okay? And at the same time, what's the area here in the destination that they will like? And then we select a person that lives here from that country that has the same interest. So, for example, there is Australia. Okay, we wanted to promote the destination in Australia. And we thought, what's the main interest of the buyer persona? That would be cycling and sports. So, and what's the area here in the destination that they will like? Girona. You know, Girona is a popular place for Australian cyclists. So we thought, who do we choose here? And we took Emma Snowsill, that's the wife of Gian Frodeno, a cyclist and triathlete. She lives here. She's a cyclist and triathlete, and she's Australian. So we want her to tell her fellow Australians that she came to live in Girona. She's cycling in Girona. It's the best place in the world for her to do it. And why she thinks her fellow Australians will love it. Another example, an Italian man. Italy, they love art and culture. And we're sure that here they will like Cadaqués. It's a very picturesque town, very unique. So we took an Italian artist that's living in Cadaqués that will tell his fellow Italians why he loves Cadaqués and why they should come. So this campaign, this was, it consisted on 18 videos, each video done in their own language and thought specifically about that audience, about that country and that interest, okay? This, let me see, do I have 4 minutes to play the trailer? All the videos are on YouTube, so you can then get to watch them, but this is the trailer and there's a mix of everything.
It's very important to be in a peaceful environment. It helps to allow one to find out who he or she really is.
There's just places you will never discover without having that sense of, I'm going to take this road, but I'm prepared to see what is also down the other road.
Er zijn zelfs mensen die slecht slapen omdat het te stil is. Omdat je gaat na één nacht meestal wel over. Dat hoor ik wel van de mensen uit de stad met name.
È un posto autentico dove trovi un'energia particolare.
The pleasure of being outside the city, of being surrounded by nature, gave me a sense of disconnect from the busier city life.
The flora and fauna here are spectacular. The landscapes are incredible. It's rich in opportunities for many activities.
Alla faktiskt skulle kunna komma hit och träna och testa och träna i den här miljön som jag har här. Det kommer bli en oförglömlig upplevelse.
Non seulement la qualité de vie était bien meilleure sous ce climat, mais on a fait le choix. Donc la vie c'est de faire des choix.
Cada aprendizaje te llena. Eso es a veces lo que en otro modo de vida nosotros no sentíamos.
Die Arbeiten hier sind viel konzentrierter. Sie haben mehr Details und sie sind viel ruhiger.
Jo trobo la meva inspiració en els passejos per la natura, perquè aquí trobo tranquil·litat.
Die Küche hier ist sehr interessant, weil sehr viele Sachen vermischt werden aus dem Meer, vom Land, aus den Bergen.
I've always felt very well integrated here and well, I basically feel that I'm part of this place.
Celý ten vzťah s tými lokálnymi ľuďmi som prežíval, alebo sa mi javil vždycky ako taký.
It's a very friendly community. I think it's a wonderful location in which to live.
When we came here, I didn't expect us to stay long, but we've fallen in love with the place and I feel very privileged to live here.
Girona is ook niet groot, maar wel groot genoeg om een hele mooie herinnering mee naar huis te nemen.
We're 1,000 times happier. And our daughter is growing up in an environment that is close to perfect.
You saw that every one of them speaks their own language and they focus on what they know the people from their country want to hear. Okay, so that for me, that was the most, it was super well done, this one. And then it also means that out of these 18 videos, they will not all work for everyone. So the one that is done, that is made in German, it will only work there, but it will work very well. So a lot of times it's better to influence a very small group of people, but influence them well. If the segmentation is done well, that can be done better than trying to influence just a little bit everyone, because everyone has their own interests. And here's another one that I wanted to show you today. It's not about tourism, but it's about the university, the Universidad de Girona. And this was a very good content marketing campaign. The objective was to promote the university to new students. And the message was not, we are the best university of the world, we do this better than other universities. The message was, come here and have the time of your life, and you will be happy in this university. We needed to talk to future students, so we're not going to do a commercial on TV, we're not going to send a leaflet, we need to give them the content that they want to consume, which in this case was a web series. It was short content, fresh, funny, online, and it, with a very, you know, youthful and funny tone. And it was very successful. It was, we spoke the language. We spoke to them the way they wanted us to talk to them. So that was a big success. And that's it. I would like to finish with this sentence by Seneca. He wrote that there's no favorable wind if you don't know where you're going. So it's super important to never forget the big picture, where we're going at the end, the big objective, and then with this segmentation, know very well who we're talking to, how do we need to say things, and what we need to say. And this will be a very important part of the success. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Gemma, for the presentation. So you have seen here some things we have seen in class, and many, many experiences and examples from reality, let's say. I hope it has given you some ideas also related to your essays and to things that we see in class, and practically how we can use many of the concepts that we have been talking about. When we speak about segmentation, do not just focus on segmentation. It can be a way to communicate. It can be a way to know what to say to whom. This is a very complicated art. People are paid just to do that. So here were like some examples, realities of your territory here in Costa Brava. So thank you very much for all that information. I don't know if you have any questions or doubts that you want to express to Gemma. Yes.
So what do you, like, you told us about travel bloggers and that stuff. But what do you feel it's more like, the final user, what is he going to prefer, like a travel blogger that has, I don't know, maybe a million followers, that's like maybe it's a young person that just shows like his trips, or a micro-influencer? Because I feel that nowadays, like, at least I don't believe, like, I don't have any credibility for like big influencers, mm-hmm. and people that are only focused on like one thing, because it feels like they're just trying to sell.
Yeah, I totally agree. Think that by that moment, so when we first started, the word influencer didn't even exist. And now you have to be very careful who you work with, because there are these macro influencers. First of all, you cannot even pay them. They will charge you so much money. And the way they work is they work with an amount of deliverables. So they will say, how many posts do you want me to publish? And I will charge you, I don't know, 5,000 euros per post. I don't want to force them. Like, I want them to feel free to post whatever they want. I'm now working, next week I have a content creator coming to another destination. And I've told him, I don't care. I don't mind how much content you create. I want you to enjoy and feel free. Post something, of course, but feel free to post whatever you want, because that will be more natural. You want the content to be organic. These macro influencers, it's never organic. You can tell when they are promoting a brand, And you think, do they really like it or they are just paid for it? So micro influencers for me are always better because they influence much more. Their audience is much more engaged and they are specialized in one product usually. It's okay if they have like, if it's a gastronomy and they also do culture and decoration, fine, but they are specialists in one niche. So the credibility is much better and the engagement of their audience is much, much higher. So me personally, I only work with micro influencers only. Also because it's much easier to work with them. It's 1,000 times better. Otherwise it's like working with Beyoncé. It's anyone else?
Okay.
Thank you.